In our study of the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we are considering the agony which our precious Lord suffered while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. We have learned that the very name of the garden means oil press, which indicates as the olives were pressed to obtain the oil, so in this experience in Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ was pressed almost beyond measure. We were examining various phrases which are found in Matthew 26 that describes the paragraph for us, or describes the agony for us in this paragraph. And we have been attempting to learn exactly how deep his agony was by an examination of those phrases. And in our last study, we discovered that the agony of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane is described as to his depths, because he was greatly amazed, he was terrified with surprise at something that he had seen. We ask the question, as we left you the last time, what did he see? And we do want to answer that question for you, but for the moment I want to recognize that he was sore troubled and greatly amazed. And in examining that phrase, I would like for you to notice here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38, that he was exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Look at the phrase, exceedingly sorrowful, with me for a moment, as I suggest to you that it is a translation of the Greek word perilupus, which means literally to be surrounded with sorrow. Think about that for a moment. Let it grip your heart, and you might have some idea of the depth of the agony of Christ. He was not only sorrowful, but he was completely surrounded with sorrow. Everywhere he turned, he saw something that was too difficult for him to even give consideration to and look at it with any degree of complacency. Did he suffer in Gethsemane? Did he endure agony in the garden? I think if we went no further than we have at this moment, you would have to agree with me that he did. He suffered there in the garden. I would like for us to consider together the different kinds of agony which he suffered, as I draw to your attention, first of all, what I have been pleased to refer to as the agony of denial. Will you notice in verses 31 through 35 of Matthew chapter 26 these words, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will not be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Now you may say to me today, well, true, they did deny him, but what has this to do with the agony of Christ in the garden? Well, perhaps we can find out if we look at what John has recorded in the 16th chapter of his gospel. John mentioned to us that the loneliness of denial gripped the heart of the Savior there in the Garden of Gethsemane and added to the agony that he suffered because the disciples turned their back on him. Oh, I know. Peter remonstrated and said, though everyone denies you, I'll still be there. And we'll talk about Peter's denial by and by because it needs special attention within itself. But don't be too hard on him for a moment. Keep listening. Notice the very last statement in the paragraph. This makes me say to you, don't be too hard on Peter, because in that last statement we read that they all did the same thing. They all declared with vehemence, "We will be there and you can count on us. Don't worry. We'll be there when the hour of testing comes." But here in John chapter 16, verse 32, we read, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." Stop right there. Just don't read the scripture too hurriedly when you read it. stop and think about what you're reading. What did he say? You will be scattered, and you will leave me alone. Now, if the verse ended right there, you might think it was a simple statement of fact. I'll be left alone. But it doesn't end there. The depth of suffering which the Lord Jesus Christ endured because his own denied him is indicated in the last statement of verse 32. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. By comparison, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized the depth of his loneliness. In the words, yes, I'll be alone because you will go off and leave me, and yet really I am not alone, for my Father is with me. May I make an application today, not particularly related to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Gethsemane experience, but to you? I ask you, have you ever been alone? Have you ever been left alone? Do you feel, perhaps even now as I speak with you, that you are absolutely alone? Well, if you've never had that experience, if the Lord tarries and you live long enough, you will find out what it is to be alone. Now, may I ask this question? What was your attitude when you were alone? What is your attitude now? Did you, or are you, retreating into your shell to keep from being heard anymore? Did you shut everyone out and sort of revel in your loneliness? Or have you done, will you do, what the Savior did here, face the fact? Yes, I am alone. There's no question about it. I can't deny it. You don't deal with loneliness or any other problem, friend, by wishing it out of existence. You don't deal with loneliness or any other problem by acting as though it isn't there. Face the fact. Yes, I'm alone. I'm very much alone. And yet I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. I could share with you today my own experience of being alone and of living alone 15 years the month of May, in 1987, I've lived without the most precious person who has ever come into my life, my dear wife, who's with the Lord at the present time. God's been gracious. I have 7 children and 14 grandchildren, and I'm not alone. And yet there are times when children and grandchildren can't break through that wall of loneliness and fill the emptiness of hearts. And yet, what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning himself, by faith and now by experience, I have been able to say, I am alone, and yet I am not alone. God is gracious. He is with me. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ said to Matthew in chapter 26? All of you shall be offended this night because of me. What was he talking about? Was he talking about someone getting their feelings hurt? No. The word offended here doesn't mean that. It's the translation of the Greek word skandalizo, which very literally rendered means caught in a snare. All of you, he said, before the night is over, are going to be caught in the snare, and that snare is going to cause you to deny me. What was the snare? Well, in this instance, it was fear. What does the Word of God say about that? The fear of man provideth a snare, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Some of you are facing new situations in life, new experiences which you've never had. You'll be associating with new people, and you will be pressed to do many of the things that other people are doing that you yourself know are not right, and certainly contrary to the convictions which were implanted in your heart by godly mothers and godly fathers. And yet you will deny your Lord. You will back down on your principles simply because you are afraid. The fear of the Lord provideth a snare. There were individuals, we are told in the Gospels, who wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but they did not because of the fear of man. And so it is today. Fear is a snare, but let me remind you this hour that perfect love casteth out all fear. And when I speak of perfect love, I do not speak of perfection of your love, for your love is mine, I dare say, fluctuates. We don't love the Lord as we should, but that perfect love is God's love for us, and it is planted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And perfect love casteth out fear, for God has said in his word, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. One other thing I would like to suggest to you concerning this matter of denial on the part of the disciples. We must recognize that their denial, though they were totally responsible for it, was the fulfillment of prophecy. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said that very thing. He said, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered. And that's exactly what Zechariah had to say in his prophecy in the 13th chapter and the 7th verse in these words, awake and smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. He recognized that one of the reasons they scattered, one of the reasons they fled, was they had no certain anchor. Him in whom they had placed all their trust was in trouble. They were wondering if he could do all of the things that he had promised to do. He could, and he did. But the clouds came over them as the clouds come over us from time to time. And we find ourselves wondering, is all this I have been taught true? Is all this I have been taught real? Circumstances don't seem to indicate it. Maybe there's nothing to it. Dear one, let me encourage you today to hold on deeply to that which you have been taught and that which you have believed, because indeed you will receive the promise in due season.